It's amazing how this psalm lays out. I told you as we began the study that the sheep, first of all, is speaking to another sheep. And he's speaking to that sheep about his shepherd. Remember, this psalm is not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. And he's speaking to this sheep about his shepherd. And then halfway through this psalm, the whole thing changes, and now he's speaking to the shepherd. I want to offer something that'll help us the rest of our days. When we begin to brag on the shepherd, we begin to speak about the Lord Jesus. It won't be long until he'll show up and you can fellowship with him. Most people are satisfied to celebrate our fellowship and enjoy the things about the Lord Jesus. We need to progress to the point to where we can fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. That is a major difference in talking about him and speaking to him. So right in the middle, the very middle of this psalm, the whole scene changes, and now the speaking is to the shepherd. 118 words. And in the center of that psalm, that 118 words, for thou. For thou. In verse number 4. We come tonight to verse number 5. And here in verse number 5, note if you will, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou preparest a table before me. In Psalm chapter number 78, the psalmist speaks of a table being prepared in the wilderness. The preparation of the table for the sheep. Now, obviously, a sheep does not eat from a table, but he eats from the table land. And the shepherd would take the sheep to the table land, a higher setting where the grass is green. And there on that table land, he would graze and fill his cud with the green grass. Then he would go to the shade and then ruminate for some time in the shade. What he's doing is recalling what he just ate. Yes. And chewing it to get all of the good out of it. Every saint of God, yes, ought to go to the house of God with one purpose in mind. Fill your spiritual cud and then go home, or on your way home, or on your way to the work tomorrow, or whatever you do. Recall what you heard and ruminate over those things. Enjoy again and stay with it until the blessing comes that's in that particular thought. I want you to know that there is not one verse in this Bible, there is not one phrase in this Bible that doesn't have a tremendous blessing for the child of God. Even those phrases that deal with judgment are a blessing. They warn us of things to come. So the sheep says, thou preparest. A little bit of English would help us to know that this is not something that has been done previously. It is not something that is necessarily only going to be done tomorrow, but it is done on a continual basis. Thou preparest. Do you get it?
Yes.
It is constantly prepared. Our God will never leave you hungry. Never. the Spirit of God creates a hunger within us. And God feeds us to satisfy that hunger. So many saints, let me rephrase that. I don't want to use that term loosely. So many those who call themselves saints, attendees, let's call them that. Maybe that's a better situation. Attendees never get hungry, never get thirsty. There's never a desire for the things of God in their lives. That's sad. That is extremely sad. God's people will always hunger after righteousness. There will always be that hunger for the things of God. Our sister said a moment ago that it was such a joy for her to be able to come to the house of God, even in pain. Down through the years, I have said that the church is a holy hospital. How many times have you gone to the house of God feeling bad, with pain and sickness on you, and you leave the house of God, that pain, that sickness is gone, and you're rejoicing in the good things of God? It's a holy hospital. You come to the house of God, things can happen to you that you never thought was going to take place. God not only deals with our spiritual circumstance, He deals with our physical circumstance. Here's the secret most of us haven't learned. When God deals with our spiritual circumstance, those physical circumstances will disappear for the most part as well. Because it was a spiritual problem to start off with. And most of us won't admit that, will we? But how true that is. Thou preparest a table before me. We meet Jehovah Nissi in these last two verses. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. In the Song of Solomon, the female in the psalm, in the song says, He took me to a banquet table, and His banner over me was love. Here is the Lord our banner. He is love. He is victory. It is actually a victorious banner that we view in this context. We won't note that fully till we get to the next verse. But here, we meet Jehovah Nissi. We meet the banner. We meet the victor. What greater victory is there than the last verse of this psalm? Some of us may get a little light-footed when we get there. Of course, we ought to got light-footed before now. Yeah. Amen? Right. Just realizing what the shepherd has done for the sheep. I'm grateful to God that the sheep are not just let alone, but rather they are shepherded. I learned something a while back from a preacher friend of mine that is a shepherd. He said that he always names his sheep. And according to the historical account, all of the sheep were named in the fold. And the shepherd would call the name of the sheep, and the sheep would come forth to be examined as they start into the fold at night. So the shepherd calls the name. That's why Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Boy, hallelujah. You see the picture here? Those sheep are never going to get out of the power of the shepherd to keep them. They'll arrive home at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table. What's a table for? Think with me for a moment. What is a table really for? A table we constantly think of only as a place to eat. But a table is a great place of fellowship. You can learn more about people at a table than you can in a week-long conversation. Now, I've told you a secret. I've used that for years. I find out more about people at a table than I do anywhere else. You find their manners. When you find their manners, you know their upbringing. You don't have to ask them. If there's no etiquette involved, then you know that they're crude. And if they're crude here, they're crude everywhere. If you act like that in public, you act like that at home. A table is a great place of fellowship. It's a great place of investigation. Do you suppose the shepherd watches the sheep as they graze in the meadow? Sure he does. He's keenly aware of how they're eating. He can tell if there's a problem with one. And he solves the problems when two begin to come against each other. Sheep are not always peaceful. I hope you know that. Most of us get a picture of sheep and we see them on the hillside and we always see just little white puffy things walking around. But they don't always just walk around. They get agitated with each other. Did you ever get agitated with another church member, another brother or sister in Christ? When you get agitated with another brother or sister in Christ, let me offer an opinion. I think an expert opinion on the circumstance. It's probably that you're being selfish. Both of them can't graze on the same blade of grass. So when they try to graze at the same spot, they get their heads together and then they want to butt each other. All because they want the same spot. My brother said something this morning in the message. He said that God is taking us away from ourselves. And do you realize that the greatest work of salvation is not saving you from hell, but saving you from your wicked self? Right. Salvation not only keeps us out of hell, thank God it does, but it also saves us from all the wickedness that is inherently within us. Yes. I don't care how holy you think you are, within you lurks every wickedness known to man. And if it's not, that's just because you haven't heard of it or haven't seen it yet. Can you imagine where we would be tonight were it not for the saving work, the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost of God? Thank God that He saves us from ourselves. And these sheep often begin to butt each other and push each other around. And when they do that, the shepherd moves quickly to solve the problem. Too many of us like to... I had this problem. I used to like just let them fight it out. You know, in our schools, if we had a little altercation between boys or even between girls, I kind of like to stand back and watch it for a few minutes. You say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, I was doing it. You weren't there. I was doing it. I was in charge. I just let it happen sometimes. Just let them fight a little bit. And then I'd take them off to themselves. And more than one time, I'd have boys and girls. I said, now listen, your boys, your girls, you're going to have problems with each other. You're going to fight. And if you didn't, I'd really have a problem with you. I'd rather see you fight and sit around and sulk about it for 30 days. Yes. Huh? It's over with in, what, 30 seconds? But if they sit around and sulk about it for 30 days, then it'll be all kind of problems. Let them fight it out for a minute. And then I'd have them hug each other's neck and say, I'm sorry. And then I'd say, if I ever see you fighting again, I'm going to tell everybody in this school that I saw you hugging each other. Buddy, if you don't think that solves some problems, You'd see them almost get into it and they just walk away from each other. This table represents the food of God, the bread of God for His children.
Yes.
Thou preparest a table before me. When you go to the house of God, God's prepared a table. Hello?
Yes.
When you're at home and you're in your study, and every one of us ought to have a time that we open this book and study it on a daily basis.
Yes.
Every day. So I'm too busy. Well, you're too busy. If you're too busy to take a few moments a day to read the Word of God, you are too busy. You ought to discipline yourself to have a time and take that time. Take that time. I arise in the neighborhood of a few minutes either way of 4 o'clock in the morning, and I go to my Bible and I spend time reading, studying, musing over the Word of God, and in prayer. You ought to give yourself a time. You say, well, I can't do it early in the morning. Well, don't do it early in the morning. I can't do it in the afternoon. In the evening, when the sun goes down, I'm bad to do the same thing. When the sun sets, my eyes want to set as well. Find you a time. Whatever time of day fits your schedule, then set that part of the day aside because you need to eat from the table.
Absolutely.
God has given us the manna. You know what we've done? Do you know what America's done? You know what our Bible college and seminaries have done? They've said, we loathe this manna. It's what the children of Israel said. What they're saying is, we've had enough of this, we want something else. Well, the world's given them something else in all of these renditions. Not revisions and versions, renditions. None of them are credible. Listen to me. Now, don't come up here and argue with me after a while. I've been down this road. I was the president of a seminary for over 30 years. I'm telling you, I've been down the road. Don't argue with me. This King James Bible is the only one that God has used down through the ages to bring revival and feed His children. Now, when you feed on something else, you're going to be a weakling. You're going to be anemic. And if you want Blue John, then have at it. I'd rather have some cream in my milk. I'd rather have a little bit of steak along the way. Say amen right there. Rather than all of the garbage and processed meat. Huh? Don't hand me a hot dog. Give me a steak. Right? The King James Bible is the one you can trust. Believe me, you can trust it. God's used it to bring more revivals and bring more people into the household of faith than all of these others combined. They'll never measure up. Well, Brother Larry, you're old-fashioned. Look up here at me. I'm old, and I'm fashioned. But I want you to know something. When you learn the truth of this book, when you know and learn to have confidence in this book, you won't be ashamed to bear it. You won't be ashamed to quote it. You won't be ashamed to read it. You won't be ashamed to share it with those about you, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God's little children need the food from the table. And we don't need the watered down versions. No. When we were children and we got old enough to where we could eat meat, my mother would chew that meat up. She got all the good out of it. My mother would chew that meat up, and then she'd give it to us. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? When you go to the house of God, the man of God is chewing it up and giving it to you so you can take it and digest it, and it's food then for your soul. The Holy Ghost helps you to understand what God is saying. And when the Holy Ghost says it, it's anchored deep in your soul. means something to you. You grow thereby. And spiritual growth is something that's just absolutely missing in our churches today. We're just not seeing it happen. We're having short, concise, little regimented services, if you can even call it that, meetings, and going home. And God's little children are hungry, and they're thirsty, and they're not growing. Instead of being giants for the cause of Christ, we're midgets, and we're anemic because we want something other than the Word of God. We want a program. Give us a program. Yeah, you can program yourself right smack dab into hell and the doors of the church closed. Teaching and preaching of the Word of God, the manna on the table, is the essential thing. Thou preparest a table before me. If He's prepared it, then devour it. And if you devour it, it'll be exactly what you need for your circumstance. Isn't it amazing how one person and another have their needs met when they come to the house of God with the same sermon, the same teaching, fits the needs of all of our hearts. Now, why does that happen? Thou preparest a table before me. Now watch this, in the presence of mine enemy. The enemies are all about. And the enemy doesn't want you to have the food that's on the table. You're living in a nation tonight that if the powers that be in Washington, D.C. have their way, they'd shut every Bible-believing church in America down tonight. Now, don't you think that they wouldn't do it? Do you know why? They don't want you to have that manna. They don't want to. Isn't that amazing? The very ones that protect this nation, the very ones that's kept it from sinking and going to hell a long time ago, the salt of the earth, and they don't want the salt to have any savor. They want you to be without any power. And if they close the church doors and take your Bibles away, then they're taking the food away from you, and they're going to make us all anemics. That ought to cause us to pray for Jesus to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The table is prepared in the presence of our enemies. The little sheep has many an enemy. We've talked about that. I'll not go through that again. But the sheep has many enemies. We have many enemies. Oftentimes within the pews of the very churches themselves are the worst of our enemies. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Their design is to destroy. Not to build up, but to destroy. Now look, there's two positive things that happen in this verse to the sheep. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Boy, I love this. Hallelujah. Thou anointest my head with oil. We've talked about the oil. When the sheep speaks of his head being anointed with oil, he's talking about when the rut time comes and the rams begin to butt their heads together to see who's going to be the preeminent one. The shepherd puts the oil on their heads. And now when they hit each other, they just pew, pew, glance off rather than a good solid hit. It protects the sheep. Keeps them from injuring one another. The oil is a type of what?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost of God. Woo, hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost moves on the scene, all of these little things that happen among us don't mean anything anymore. They're just glancing blows. Ghost. The Holy Ghost has fixed it to where it's not something to destroy, but rather to develop us. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There's two things here I want to give you. In the evening, when the sheep have been out all day long, the shepherd would take a cup of water. It's made kind of like a funnel, but larger, in order that the sheep can put his face entirely into that cup. And when he puts his face down into that cup, guess what happens? The cup runs over. And he's refreshed because the shepherd has given him drink after the day. But now here's the second thing. And this is more so what we need. When parasites, when problems arise about the head of the sheep, the shepherd fills that cup not with water now, but with oil. And he just takes that cup and puts it up over that sheep's face. The oil goes into his nostrils. Remember, we've talked about the nostril flies. Everyone that's been around cattle has seen those aggravating flies that fly around the nostrils and try to get into the membrane, lay their eggs, and then the larva migrates to the brain, and oftentimes they go crazy, lose their mind. I've often told you that flies are a type of demons in your Bible. And when the demons lay their larvae, where do you think that wants to go? To your brain. Let me just whisper something to you here. I want you to come up real close and let me tell you this. What's happening is Satan has planted his larva, and it's affecting the minds of the saints of America. No right thinking saint could have ever voted the way you voted in the past two elections. The larva has reached the mind. We need a great Holy Ghost healing. We need Holy Ghost fire moving through us to burn out the dross and destroy Satan's larva. But that sheep puts his head down into that cup. That oil comes up over his head, into his ears, up into his nostrils, and then runs down over him. Are you getting the picture? And he is enjoying the cup running over. Hallelujah. When we come to the house of God, and the Lord God Almighty takes the cup, the Holy Ghost begins to bless us. We were talking a moment ago about Dad and his pouring his cup full of coffee and letting it run down the sides and into the saucer. Well, that's exactly what happens in our lives when God causes our cup to run over and splatter out on somebody else. How many times have you rejoiced because someone else rejoiced? How many times have you had the move of the Spirit on you because somebody else was obedient to the Holy Spirit and just stuck their head down into the cup so it would run over? I challenge you tonight, stick your head into the cup. Be blessed yourself, but at the same time, be a blessing to somebody. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head. Do you get the picture? Remember what we were talking about just a moment ago? Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Oh God. Oh God, that we would see a revival of God anointing our brains once again and causing us to think like Christian people one more time before this whole thing blows out the bung. And it's about to do it. God in heaven, help us to think again. Help us to look again to the right side of life. Isn't it strange that we're the ones that are the problem? Not these hobos. Not these spiritual derelicts that want to do everything and anything in public. Hello?
Yeah.
We could no more have a peaceful march through Washington, D.C. and preach the gospel on street corners. They'd throw us all in jail in no time. But that bunch of perverts, that bunch of sodomites, they're not gay. Don't call them gay. If you call them gay, the larva's in your brain. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
They're not gay. They're sodomites. That's what God calls them. They're sodomites. That bunch of sodomites were doing their thing on the streets. Hello? Hello? No one does anything with it or about it. Hello, hello, hello. Well, they'd throw us in jail. Why are we the enemy? Once again, we're the salt. The only reason, listen to me, and I'm finished. The only reason the United States of America is still the United States of America is because of the believers in this nation. We're the salt, we're the light. We're the reason it's still here. But now I want to go a little bit further. We're the reason it's in the shape it's in. Because we have allowed the nasal flies to lay their eggs, and the larva has reached our mind. And many of you sitting in front of me tonight have compromised what you once believed and yet know to be so. You've compromised because somebody in your family or somebody you like just happens to be warped in their mind. Hello? You think about what I'm saying. Right there's something for you to chew on tomorrow. Take that to the house with you. The larva has reached our brains. And we're not thinking like saints anymore. And we're not standing like saints ought to stand anymore. We're satisfied to go to church, go to house. Look like, talk like, be like the world the rest of the week. And then come back Sunday morning, think we're going to get cleaned up and get everything ready to go to glory. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
I want to be a blessing to somebody else. Do you?
Yes.
I really do. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't want to live the rest of my life without splashing out on somebody. Constantly. Not just once. I want it to happen all the time.
Yes.
Just slosh around a little bit. Let some of it splatter out.
That's right.
My great-grandchildren were at the house the other day, and we were washing the car. And one of them said, "Paul, let me do the rinsing." I said, "Okay." I said, "No, you just hold it just like this. Don't squeeze it any tighter. Just like this. Keep that kind of pattern and wash the soap off." So she was holding the hose just like I told her to. And her big brother came along to help her. Big brothers are always the fly in the ointment. And big brother was going to help her, so he grabbed the thing, and I'm telling you, I got drowned. I'm on the other side of the car. I got drowned. Now, listen to me. She said, "Paul, I'm sorry. It was on accident." I said, "No, it wasn't on accident. He made you do that." So let me tell you what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to make you slosh out on somebody. If I can, I'm going to shake you and make you slosh out a little bit on somebody else. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, shake us and cause us to be a blessing to somebody else along the way. Hey, don't hold what you know inside. Don't do that. To do that is sinful. Don't do that. Share it.
Yes.
Share it.
Yes.
Tell somebody. Yes. Tell somebody. Father,